Blog Talk Radio.
They tried to bring me down.
I was accused of something I didn't do. They put my head with that. And the truth matters.
Boyhood dreams got no place in a man's life. You need to concentrate on getting employed. Forget about football.
21.
When I was young, it was hard to see a way out. Football gave me an option.
Brian Banks with the tackle.
By the time I was 16, I had the attention of the NFL.
The sky is the limit for this kid.
Then what happened? Why don't you play anymore?
Brian Banks was 16 years old when he was accused of a crime he did not commit. He lost 11 years. Scholarship. He was prevented from playing football.
The system is broken.
We have 10 months to clear his name.
If in that time they do not overturn your conviction, you'll be a prisoner again.
I need something big, something extraordinary.
Yeah. It's extraordinary that I'm still here. Yeah. I'm still standing.
Yeah.
You ever been locked up? They nearly killed me.
How did you survive it?
Almost did. Then I met a man who showed me a different way.
All you can control in life is how you respond to life.
I know what I have to do now.
My son is innocent!
They tried to count me out.
You think you'll get another shot at the NFL?
Trust me, we got a plan.
It's not over.
I am innocent, and the truth matters. I know the system doesn't care about me.
But you didn't deserve what happened to you.
Brian's gonna run out of time.
It's not over.
I'll tell you what's extraordinary. I am.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope everyone is doing well. Thank you for tuning in to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your host, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com, and you guys can always reach me directly or any one of my social handles on Twitter at Locker_Report, on my personal page, TB Sports, on Facebook, LockReport.com, on Instagram, LockReport100, all small caps, or just simply shoot me an email at BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. I hope everyone is having yourself a blessed day, and I know that we didn't have the big-time hype song that normally comes on just to get you guys pumped up, but today I'm going to take a different turn, and today I'm going to focus on Brian Banks. Brian Banks is an extraordinary gentleman who I had the pleasure of meeting in 2015. When I first met him, we talked a lot. He told me about his story, which everyone in the world would get an opportunity to see on August the 9th. And it's about his story, how he was falsely accused and he had to go to jail for a short period of time. But when you're in jail, it always feels like it's an eternity. I can honestly say that I've never experienced that. I would say for any male, for any man, not just a black male, but for any male, the two most devastating things that a man can go through is witnessing the loss of their child or a close family member, pretty much a child especially, and also going to jail falsely accused. Because when you go into that situation, knowing that the system is set up against you, knowing that those around you who believe in you may all of a sudden not believe in you, and then to deal with the constant struggles that goes on inside of the prison, where men have to generally fight to stay alive. And if you don't have that street mentality or that drive to want to fight all the time, and you come from a different type of lifestyle when you're in there with legitimate criminals, it's even harder. Mr. Brian Banks, when I first met him, he was with the NFL in 2015. And the story with Brian Banks, is very interesting. When he was in high school in 2002 at Polytechnical High School in California, he was pretty much a big deal. All the schools wanted him. During that time, everyone is familiar how Southern California, USC, was pretty much the big boys of college football. And Pete Carroll, UCLA, everybody wanted him. And so knowing that he was pretty much the next big thing to come out of California, and even at that time had some NFL team that was looking at this extraordinary linebacker who pretty much was just dominating on a high school level. So the buzz for Brian Banks was clearly evident. Of course, everyone wanted a piece of him, and knowing that he had to be guarded was very important. But when you're 16 years old, the only thing you can think about is knowing that you are the top guy. All the schools want you. Fortunately, he was always humble. You know, he didn't go to his head. He wasn't an arrogant type of personality. That's not who his mother raised him to be. So that was, I would say, a great thing that he had going for him. But as he continued to talk to me, and during that time, I really didn't know too much about what had happened to him. I just knew that he had an interesting story, and I was just that's when he pretty much gave me more details. And so he was falsely accused of raping a lady named Juanita Gibson. Banks was a senior, she was a sophomore, and Brian Banks had said that when he went to have a pass to go out of hall to go to the restroom, he ran into Juanita, and they were fooling around and everything. And according to Brian Banks, they did have sexual intercourse, but it was all consensual. But the young lady had went into the classroom, wrote a note to a friend, and basically written on a piece of paper. According to reports, it was a poorly misspelled piece of paper with a whole bunch of misspelled words, basically saying that Mr. Banks had dragged her, pulled her down to the basement, pulled her pants off, and he knew that she was a virgin and she's no longer a virgin anymore. And so, as you can see from that point on, a big, gigantic, powerful black guy, smaller white girl, go to court, say they raped me, you know what the outcome of that is going to be. So he was thrown in jail. Football career, everything in his life was pretty much, done at that point. And then from that point on, the young lady, Ms. Gibson, and her mother wind up suing the school for a little bit over $1 million because they said the school was in an unsafe environment, and sued the school. And so during the course of the time with Mr. Banks, with him in jail, fighting for his life, trying to get people to understand what was going on, what he was able to do was that he was basically facing 41 years to life. And was facing that conviction, his attorney told him to accept a plea deal. Now, when you accept a plea deal, you know, in most cases, but in all cases, it looked like, yeah, you did it, and you want to try to have an easy way out, to have to look for mercy upon the court. But his best option was to take the plea deal, and the plea deal was to be in prison for 5 years, be on probation for 5 years, but he had to register himself on the sex offenders list, which he did, and he cooperated. And then from there, that's when things started to change. Now, I had the pleasure of interviewing him in 2015 when he was at the Baltimore Hell NFL Regional Combine workouts. So I had the opportunity to talk to him today. I mean, at that time. But his interview is relevant knowing that his movie come out on August the 9th. And I just wanted you guys to hear my interview that I had with Mr. Banks in 2015 leading up to his movie that he fought to get out. And I'll tell you a little bit of backstory on that, how it went from being on the small screen to eventually be on the big screen. So you want to hear the interview that I had with Mr. Banks in 2015 in Baltimore at the NFL Regional Combine.
Hey, this is Craig Batchelor.
This is Kevin Batchelor.
Hey, you're listening to the Bachelor Pad Show with my dad, L.A. Batchelor.
On the Bachelor Pad Radio Network.
And we're back. So thank you for listening. That's on the Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. Now, that was a very, very touching story, very interesting story. And when you hear stories like this, the first thing that comes to your mind is that, can someone actually experience something like this? And the answer is true, and unfortunately, it's experienced pretty much every day, where we have young black men, especially. You know, it's not saying that other races don't experience it either, but it's pretty much common for minorities. You know, especially African American men, where the population in the prisons is so much to the point where that African Americans are the minority in this country, but when it comes down to imprisonment, we're definitely the majority, and that's tough. And I raised four boys, raising four boys to become men, and every day watching over them, praying over them, and talking to them. I have an 18-year-old now that's out and about, ready to go to college, and I reiterated a lot of things to him about making sure you be safe and make sound decisions. Because when you're in a situation where there's some success that's there, everyone want to get a piece of it. Whether if they want to get a piece of it just to be able to either be with you when you're shining, or if they feel as though that they will not have the opportunity to shine with you on that level, they want to somehow taint it or want to destroy it or become a part of it just to have their name out there. Now, this was the case of Mr. Banks, and he's not the only one. It's very important that as young men, especially African-American men, especially when you know that you're on the road of greatness, that you make sure that you keep your pocket, you keep the area, or I would say you keep your level of influence to in a small space. You want to make sure that your situation, that you always guard it, because not everyone is for you. And we can clearly have seen that in Mr. Banks' life. Now, since this show is primarily talking about sports and talking about, you know, athletes, and this is, you know, dear to me, especially in this area, because I know about the sacrifices that go in as far as with athletics, and then when you get to a certain level where you'll have a player that's really being looked at, it's very important that there's certain places you don't go, there's certain people you don't hang out with, there's certain environments you stay far away from as far as the East is from the West, because there are people that are jealous. There are more people that are jealous of you than people who are for you, and you have to be mindful of that. Even when it comes down to being with females, and I know that you want to have a good time, but you have to be careful with that especially. And what has been the biggest thing that athletes had to watch out for, fooling around with women, especially when they are looked to make it to a professional level, or they looked at as being the next guy, you definitely got to watch out, because you're going to have women that's going to look at the, that's going to look to try to get you to father a child, and you beat that lottery ticket. When I covered the Washington Wizards, I'll never forget this moment, this scene, and my conversations with some of the Washington Wizards players at that time. It was that one time, it was one game when the Boston Celtics played the Wizards, and after the game, we all go, the media guys go downstairs, we go right behind the players as they enter in. But before the players, before the media goes in, I mean, after the media goes in, that's when you have the girlfriends and the wives. You know, they will come in behind the media. But that particular night, it was a lot of females. And so after the players had went through, the wives had went through, girlfriends went through, but there was an abundance of girls that walked in. And I tell you, on the sound of my voice, that the women that was walking inside there looked like they was straight out of a magazine. They didn't even look real. It was just how perfect they were, as far as physically. And when they walked in, the first thing you go to, you go in your mind as a male, is like, man, these guys are probably the most luckiest guys in the world. And then all of a sudden my mind switched, and I said, man, these guys are in trouble. And then having conversations with professional athletes on how sometimes when they go into their hotel room, and when they go into the hotel room, and some of y'all probably even heard stories about this before. They go inside their hotel room, and they have women, not just one, I'm saying plural, will be in their beds with no clothes on. And then you wonder, how did this person get the information to their room? Because majority of other players go in as an alias, so no one will not know what room a particular player is in. And so I say all that to say is that you have some women, like how professional athletes prepare to be the top dog on the field, to be excellent, to get to the next level. You have some women that target athletes, and they do that almost like a career to get to that right guy, hope to get pregnant, and next thing you know, they are with somehow anonymous with that professional athlete for the rest of their lives. And that's fact. It's one of those situations that no one wants to talk about, but it's true. And it's very important that you young men that are looking and striving to become professional athletes, you have to be very, very careful of who you associate with. Now, with Mr. Banks, with his situation, it was different. Someone had came out and said they had raped him, and he went to jail. That's the worst of them all. You know, I'd rather deal with the baby mama drama than going to jail. And I think pretty much any man would agree with that. But he went on to be in jail, took the plea deal, served his 5 years. And when he was serving his 5 years, and after he got out, registered himself as a sex offender, to prove his innocence was always on his mind. And you heard in the trailer how it was best for him to walk away and find a job. But he could not let something go, especially when you know that you're innocent. And so he reached out to this law firm, this non-profit law school clinic called the California Innocence Project. And when he first approached them to take his case, he didn't have a lot of evidence to support his story. And so one day when Mr. Banks, and this, I'm quite sure this is definitely going to be in the movie, that he's sitting in front of his computer, he received a friend request. And the friend request was from Ms. Juanita Gibson. Juanita wanted to meet with him and her private investigator. And so they met. What Mr. Banks did, he privately recorded the conversation. And Ms. Gibson had came out and said that she lied, that he did not rape her. And so your first thing you're thinking, okay, I have proof. I can take this to my lawyer. We can get this thing knocked out. I can be free and clear. But no one can be recorded without their consent. And so it was not able to be used. The recording was not able to be used in the court as he went back to clear his name. But a whole bunch of things came out surrounding that situation where, to make a long story short, he did get exonerated. He got his name clear. He was able to move on from that 10-year nightmare, excuse me, of being labeled as a rapist, had his name removed from the sexual offenders list, which was really huge because you'll run into situations where it'll be really difficult to find a job. And so he was able to move away. He was able to remove that. And then instead of trying to look for a job, he actually became a speaker. And that was one of the things that he was telling me, that he became more of a national speaker, speaking against false imprisonment, speaking to young men around the country. And that's what he was doing. And so with him doing what he's been doing for the longest time, you know, speaking out publicly about what was going on, becoming more of a professional speaker. In 2014, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell heard his speech, and and the commissioner asked for Mr. Banks to speak at the Rookie Symposium that year, 2014, and he wound up speaking there. And then several months later, that's when he joined NFL Football Operations. And in 2015 was the year where I met him. And we had a candid conversation, got along very well, still do. And it's really, really great to see that he finally had his project out. Now, when he first talked, he was looking to get NBC to pick up his story. Unfortunately, it fell through. He still fought to get his movie out. He did do a couple of things on, I believe it was on the Discovery Channel, on ID, where they do the crime mystery shows. He actually had a show on there a couple of years ago about clearing people's name who was falsely accused. So you can see that this situation is truly dear in his heart. And that was one of the situations, that was one of the things that he's been doing. And then it led up to him having this movie. Now the big question that you guys want to have, and you're going to see it in the movie as well, but did he get an opportunity to play in the NFL again? Yes, he did. When he was released and everything was cleared, the coach that was trying to recruit him when he was coming out of high school at USC, Pete Carroll, had invited him to come and work out at a minicamp in Seattle. So he wound up going to several teams, worked out with several teams. Some of the teams that had given him tryouts were the Kansas City Chiefs, the San Francisco 49ers, and the now Los Angeles Chargers. So teams did work him out. Then he wound up signing with the Las Vegas Locomotives for the UFC. UFC was pretty much was indoor football. But when that season was suspended, the Atlanta Falcons signed him in 2013, where he worked out, went to training camp, did the OTAs, had his debut in the NFL in the same year, in 2013, where he made his debut and had two tackles against the Cincinnati Bengals. And he played in all four of the preseason games. But he did not make the squad going into the final cuts. Being away from the game of football, especially on the NFL level, that if you're not really playing it, and you're not really getting the type of workout that you need to play on that level, it's going to be really difficult to play in that league. And he experienced that. But at least it helped him to bring closure, because right after he recognized that his time has passed, that's when he became more of a national speaker. And that's what opened the door for him to, at some capacity, to still be a part of the NFL. Now you have this burning question about Ms. Gibson, knowing that she came out and confessed. Now, she disappeared pretty much off the face of the earth, especially when this whole thing came out and with Mr. Banks clearing his name. And so what Polly High School did in California, they went back after the money that they that Ms. Gibson, the mother, had won, had and her family won when they sued the school. And so the school pretty much won back double of what they were rewarded, a little over $2 million. So the school got their money back from her. Did they get every penny back right now? That part I'm not for sure, not for certain. But the school did was rewarded, and Ms. Gibson had to pay the school back the money that they gave to her and her family when they should not, after they fabricated the entire story. So at least this story had a happy ending. There are a lot of stories that do not have a happy ending. There's not a lot of African-American men that is probably strong enough to be able to go through a situation like this and probably would just give up. But this situation is unique. It's not like a situation out in the street, you know, dealing with it. This is someone going to prison and having that name splattered. And to see that he was able to come out, there's tons of African-American males that has been released from prison, from false imprisonment, probably 30, 25 years later. There's a young man who went to school with me in middle school. He spent over 30 years. He was just recently released 2 months ago from being false imprisonment of an attempted murder charge, and that happened in Baltimore City, Mr. Ferguson. So he was released. So this happens a lot. Not a lot of people have this type of rainbow story at the end, but Mr. Banks did. So I would say to you guys, and I implore you guys, on August the 9th, go see Mr. Banks' movie. It's life-changing. Those guys that's looking to play professional sports, you definitely need to go and see it, because you want to make sure that this is another example, someone else's experience being your experience. I would hope that the parents who are raising kids, young black males, to go and see that movie. And that way you can learn and let it be a teachable movie. Not everyone is always bad, but you have people out there that's out to get you. And his story is a clear example. You're listening to Locker Talk on Bachelor Pad Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today. Next week, I will be in Dallas for the NFL officiating clinic. I definitely will come to you guys live next Friday in Dallas, talking about what's going on as things lead up to the NFL season, and definitely we'll have some interviews from there. Until then, everyone stay safe. Continue to enjoy your July 4th weekend. Be safe out there. Stay blessed, and I'll talk to you guys real soon. Have a good one now. Bye-bye.